WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in the studio. We're at Dundalk. We're back at Costas Inn, as you can see behind me. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I don't even have any tickets next to me because Chloe and Marjorie are giving them out to everybody. Ken's winning money at the bar. We had two ladies here winning $5. It's also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and our newest sponsor, Window Nation. My windows come very, very soon. So I put this together. This is going to be our final Crab Cake Tour stop for a couple of weeks because I'm doing 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries. We're going to kick off the brewery a little later on here in the homeland. The Key Brewery folks are coming over. Mike McDonald's going to be over here. They're pouring the Dundalk Calling here. I'm not an IPA guy, but I'm going to make an exception today. I'm going to be nice, even though I'm waiting for them to make me a stout or a porter or a lager or a pilsner, things that I love. Todd Crandall is here, and folks would say, what's Todd doing there? I mean, you're in Dundalk. He's running for office. He's got his thing going on. You're incumbent. I actually met one of your competitors at the Dundalk Heritage Fair after you and I had spent time together. And I said, you know what? Your wife was pouring beer at the taps there. The Budweiser and the Guinness Blonde was flowing. And the bands were playing. The Kicks guys were on, blowing fuses. And, you know, get it while it's hot. You know, no ring around Rosie, the whole thing. And I saw you and I said, you know what, man? You're running. And all next week, I'm going to feature primarily, I'd say 95% political conversations that I've been having the last 5 months with people like you that have really looked at July 19th and said, hey, man, you got to keep your gig, right? I mean, days, and it's important to you. It's your life. It's what you've put your life into. We talked about your dad last time, and I've known you for 40 years and wrestling and all that stuff. But, you know, this is this last couple of weeks for all of you running, and I have so much respect for not just elected, but for anybody that wants to be an elected. I've never put my name on the ballot. I mean, I thought about it. Thought about it a lot, prayed about it, wrote about it, but didn't do it. And here you are. I mean, what's on your mind? You said to me, what's on my mind? What's on your mind, man?
Well, I just think there's very few opportunities in life where you can go for a job and really reach a point where you're feeling that you're having an impact with your life and you're impacting other people in a positive way. And there's, I guess, a few different mechanisms out there in the world where people can find those avenues. And for me, you know, I wake up and I say, man, what an opportunity I have today to serve the people that I grew up with. And this is where you and I both grew up. You know, so I'm very proud of the work that we've done over the past 8 years, 7.5 years, which is why I'm seeking another term, because you not a lot of people, I think, in life get to a point where they can experience feeling that they're doing what they were called to do. By whatever higher power that is, or whatever your belief system is.
You and I got together a number of years ago, and you were doing other things with your life, and I didn't know you were going to do this. I mean, you and I talked business probably 07, 08. I mean, when did it hit you to actually get involved here? And, you know, and talk about this last decade and doing this, because I don't know that you thought you'd be out putting lawn signs up on a July day, right?
Right, exactly, which I was doing last night, a little bit this morning, all through the week, and, of course, early voting started today in the state of Maryland.
So I pulled my ballot out today. I got my mail 2 weeks ago.
Now. With the general election, the final general election being on July 19th. I never really felt the call to politics. I was always interested. I moved out of the area when I came out of college and started working, going into the business world. And a friend of mine was running for state senate back when, a name that you remember, when Norman Stone was the state senator.
Sure, I knew Norman Stone.
Who was
Stone, Minnick, Arnick. I remember the signs, DePazzo. It was always the same.
Yeah, it was, they were sort of, I wouldn't go so far. You use the word machine, and that has a kind of a kind of disparaging sort of
But they were the 80s and 90s in this neighborhood.
And yes, and they actually, you know, and they were the stalwarts of the political scene. And
well, they were trying to keep the point open and the plan open.
They tried, I think, the best that they could, but I think there were market factors and other things that...
I don't think there was anything that was going to save this, right?
This was, the global economy was changing. A lot of things around the world were changing. The markets were changing. And my buddy was a younger guy, about 10 years younger than I am, and he wanted to run for office, and he convinced me to run with him. And that's when I first got the sort of the flavor of running for office, and this was back in 2009. And I really got a feel for it. And if you wanting to get into public service, especially in, as an elected public official, you got to have the fire in the belly, and you got to have the passion for it, and you got to believe in the people that you're supposed to represent, and you have to be able to relate to them. And I found that I'm nothing special, but
when
just
I found you in the beer garden the other night.
That's right.
You found you where people were.
I was drinking water though, but I was hanging with my people, with my friends from Dundalk and people that were that I represent. And I think that to be able to do that and to relate to what goes through other people's minds as they're going through the struggles in their own lives, the challenges, the opportunities that they're undertaking to be able to. Share in their not only the struggles and problems that they might have and help them along the way if you can, but help experience the good things in life that happen to them as well. So that's why.
Including Kix playing the beer garden.
Absolutely.
So it was a great night.
Local band. They just rocked it out. And
I'm glad the weather held up Sunday.
It did.
Because Saturday was messy.
Saturday was a little messy. But I tell you, I was at the opening ceremony for the Heritage Fair. They do it every year. And they invite the elected officials to come up and just talk for a couple minutes. You don't want to talk forever because they're there. Everybody's there for the music. They don't want to listen to a 15-minute political diatribe. So I just said that, listen, you know, we're in a divided country right now. Let's face it. There's a lot of different things going on.
Well, if you and I had sat here and talked politics all day, we might not like each other by midnight. Maybe.
I think we'd like each other, but I think that the caveat to that
things we would agree on. We'd sit here all night. We wouldn't agree on things.
But we could sit down and discuss it as human beings and as Americans and as patriots.
You have to.
And as patriots.
It's a time that we have to.
And I just, you know, looked out at this crowd and I said, you know what, it just really reminded me being home in Dundalk and seeing thousands of people out there ready to listen to the bands, and you had the Dundalk High School contingent in the beer garden from classes, whatever, 80 whatever.
Guilty
to 90.
Charged.
Nest was one, of course, and Tapsco High School
there. I had a
straight
out of Dundalk shirt.
I saw you straight out of Dundalk shirt.
So my wife and I were coming over to Costas about 3 weeks ago. And by the way, I'm getting a chicken hito today. I'm going to have a crab cake because it's crab cake tour, but I'm really in the mood for a chicken hito. So we came over, we sat at the bar with Karen, and on the way out, my took my son, and he said, hey, the new Walmart is, you know, open, it's grand, it's big. I'm like, all right, I'll stop by. I need some cones. They sell my Joy cones that are like from ice cream cones.
Right, so I remember telling me that.
So we stop in, and there it is hanging there, right on the end, like it's got my name on it. And I went over and I looked at it. It was a medium. It was cut a little small for me at this point. I need some more push-ups, Chloe. Remind me that.
There we go. Put that on the to-do list.
Put that on the list. So I picked it up and I held it up and I'm like, if I never wash it, it won't shrink, but I know it's going to shrink. So I'm like, I don't even care if it doesn't fit. I'm getting it and I'm wearing it to the beer garden. And I wore it both nights. I washed it on Sunday.
Sure you did.
I had to wash it. I sweat through it. I rained through it. I sat down at the old Airport Inn.
Yeah.
At Brillhart. You know.
I know Mike Brillhart, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, Brillhart sucked me in at the 100.7 The Bay. We'll have Bad Company coming up next. So he invites me down, and I'm ready to go party. It rains everywhere. I'm with my buddy Rob DeBilius, my first friend in life, who might be stopping by here today. And we sat there and had a couple of beverages, and I won tickets on Sunday night from Brillhart. Not because he likes me. It was a trivia question. It was really hard. Okay. It was really hard. He had two really hard rock and roll trivia. I still don't have the answer to the second one. It was, one was involved the Heritage Fair. Uh-huh. One involved...
44 years.
No, it was six rock and roll Hall of Fame connections have played the Heritage Fair. And there were four at M3 and six at the Heritage Fair with rock and Joan Jett's the first answer to both, right? She's played
Joan
them
Jett.
Both, right? So, but it's very esoteric.
Any money?
Vivian Campbell.
Oh, geez.
Any money's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way. I don't think that's correct.
You
should. So should Pat Benatar, even though she so should Styx. Yep. There's a lot of Dennis DeYoung was a
Dennis
very
DeJong.
Popular answer.
Very good show,
right?
Dennis DeYoung put a very good show
great
on that
show,
year. Yeah.
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah.
So Vivian Campbell from Whitesnake, but the real linchpin was Izzy Stradlin on the M3 was the answer.
Okay.
M3 from Guns N' Roses and played M3 and I won two free tickets to Kix.
Well, congratulations.
So I went back.
When are we going?
No, it was Sunday night at the beer garden, man, okay. When I met you. Todd Crandall is here. He runs for things here in Dundalk. We're at Costas. We're talking about life and politics and wrestling and all that. For you, I'll put it straight to you. So I talked to you for a while, and I said, who's running against you? And you said, oh, you know, Donna's running. Okay, great. I know Donna like this much. I came in. I saw her. And she said, and I'm just being honest, so you can answer this any way you want. You can laugh a little bit if you want because it made me laugh. She said, he ain't done nothing. So I want you to discuss what you've done. In general, I think it's one thing to sit on the outside and say you're not doing it, and there's another thing to being elected, a lot of things you might have wanted to do that you can't do or right. You still want to do. But talk about the things you have done.
Sure. So thanks for the opportunity for that, Nestor. And I think that's a...
You've never heard really, that before, right? Somebody come up to you and say...
You haven't done anything. Well, so, I mean, and they're we don't live in a utopia. You know, we live in an environment where local politics takes on certain challenges. People need buses running on time. People need their trash picked up. They expect the potholes to be filled. They expect roads to be resurfaced.
Are you the front line of that? Do you consider yourself the front line of that?
Part of the front line is I don't have as a council member, I don't have an authority just to tell an agency, hey, go out and get this done. But I do have the ability to have a little bit of leverage to talk to an agency and have relationships with the various relationships.
You say the pothole's been there 30 days.
I think I mentioned to you when I was on before, that pothole does not care, nor does the constituent care, whether that pothole needs to be filled with an R or a D. Now, when I took office in 2014, we were kind of a stepchild of Baltimore County. We weren't getting the attention that we needed from a public infrastructure standpoint and from other standpoints
as
well.
What would be an example of that at the time? That you
Roads resurfacing is one of those. The fact that we had hit, if not rock bottom, at least close to rock bottom as you could in terms of our economic development opportunities here with GM leaving, with Bethlehem Steel leaving, the cottage industries that supported those bigger companies, Western Electric was one of them, there's Eastern Stainless is another.
Oh, and every Costas that my dad would drive by and come in and have a beer after work at the point which he did many, many times here.
Yeah, supported all those businesses. So I ran 8 years ago on more so of an economic impact platform in that, hey, we have to take an approach here and we have to have a certain vision for how we're going to revitalize the area, not just Dundalk, but Edgemere and Essex and the places that our district encompasses. And we, instead of just complaining about like, oh, hey, you know, we're not getting the attention or we're not, nothing's been done. We actually articulated a vision on how you do this. And the first part of that vision was we need to recreate our job base. We have to take every opportunity we can to recreate a job base here in southeastern Baltimore County because property values are falling. People are leaving. They're leaving the area to go other parts of Maryland.
Is this still the most densely populated part of Baltimore County?
I don't believe it is, no. I don't believe it is.
I mean, at one point, there were more people living in 75,000 people in Dundalk or whatever. There were a lot of people here.
In terms of median household income, we did fall to the lowest in Baltimore County. I know that. So that was one prong of the approach. The second prong of the approach is we need to increase the quality of our housing stock. Which also another component to that is just quality of life issues where we had a rat infestation and the county administration at the time wasn't hearing us. And we have constituents, myself, my office, everyone going to Towson and saying, hey, we have a real problem here. We need help.
Man, there's nothing like rats now. So, you know, I mean, no secret. I grew up in Colgate. My son, my family, we've had that house. Yeah. You know, my family and I live there other than a you know, church mouse once in a while, field mouse or whatever. Yeah. I never saw a rat there in my childhood.
Right.
About 1990, the mall and the air. I don't know what happened, but rats started coming. And once that happens, yep. it's a completely different
and,
quality of life.
And I know more about this than I don't want to share, because I know more about the Norwegian brown rat than I've ever wanted to.
Can you tell me, like, seriously how...
Well, they came over from ships from the port. But we... so as property values fall, your rental properties increase in the area. And people were not taking care of trash the way they should take care of it. There's a law in Baltimore County where you have to put your household trash in a can with a tight-fitting lid so the rats can't get to it. But people were just throwing bags out into the neighborhoods, and you're creating a smorgasbord for the rats. So, and the rats will just
multiply. I live in
multiply.
A country and I got raccoons. It's a different thing.
It's a different thing. So
they're smart.
No one was listening to us, so excuse me, we finally... got a program started, an eradication program developed, and it's we went from, I would say, probably 3 or 4 complaints a day coming into our office to now we may get one a month. Is a government program that we've asked the county to invest in. It's been working for the past 3 years. It's been very successful. Been refunded again in this year's budget. So it's things like that where it's not an overnight improvement. You don't go from rock bottom or close to, like I said, as close to rock bottom as we were without things just don't happen overnight. You don't create Trade Point Atlantic with 12,000 jobs they have there now. They plan on getting to 25,000.
I invited Aaron over today. We'll get him on again soon. Aaron Tamarkio.
And they have some announcements in the office that I'm sure that they're going to get to hopefully sometime this fall. So we looked at those two prongs, economic development, recreate your job base, recreate the quality of our housing stock. So I'll give you just one example. An area you grew up near is Berkshire. When we first took office, there were. I don't know if you have a cough button or whatever.
But, no, that's fine.
The community leader in Berkshire took an inventory of the vacant homes that were in the Berkshire community. And this is one of the smaller towns that make up Dundalk. You know it well. And
made famous by Joby Palczynski and
unfortunately,
Jane Miller and I had a long conversation. But I mean, it's ancient history. But I mean, I played my little league in Berkshire, so,
right? So
a lot of my best friends in life came from Berkshire.
And she counted up. She did an inventory of her neighborhood, and she came up with 60 vacant homes. And within a span of, I'm going to say, 3 years. Don't quote me on that, but about 3 years, that number was down to 12. So investment is coming into the community. New people are coming into the community, which brings its own challenges because now you have families moving into the area. Those kids have to go to school. So we have to take a close look at our adequate public facilities, meaning roads, infrastructure, school capacity. We need to monitor that growth along with some of the good things that are happening. So I think it's...
and different families.
Yeah.
I mean, my elementary school, Colgate, that we've remodeled, and cheers to Johnny O and everybody else, and Kevin, anybody else that made it, you, anybody that made it happen, that 60% Hispanic. And I met the principal there who I'd love to have on one day. She's a lovely lady. And she gave me the numbers because I walked in and I said, the kids in here look like me. And in 1979, I assure you, there were three Hispanic kids in my school. Me, Ricky Flores, and Luis Flores. And that was it. There were three of us. And, his parents were Colombian, my parents were Venezuelan. And that was it.
There was only one Aparicio that holds the Orioles record for stolen
1966,
bases,
there it is. Hey, man, I found all my old Aparicio stuff. By the way, Todd Crandall's here. Tell me what you're running for and tell them how to vote for you and where your district is and give everybody your councilmanic status.
Sure. So I've been the Baltimore County Councilman for the 7th District in Baltimore County, which is basically the southeast part of the horseshoe of Baltimore.
Where do you go to? You obviously go to Dundalk Avenue, right? On that side?
So we're all of Dundalk, all of Edgemere, most of Essex, out into Hawthorne, and the whole Back River Neck Peninsula, so all of Essex as well.
Wow.
So a lot of waterfront, a lot of opportunity.
I think of him as a Dundalk guy, not an Essex guy. I don't know. You get
That's
votes
okay.
in Essex? I mean, you
get plenty
you spend
of votes
a lot of
in Essex.
There, right?
We spend a lot of time in Essex. And, one of the things that I'm proud of and why I'm kind of take umbrage to, like, oh, well, he hasn't done anything. Well, I remember when I took over, people from
You
Essex,
should take umbrage with that.
Well, I do because I think I have a pretty successful track record. And you don't want to boast, and you don't be one of those guys. I don't want to be arrogant about it. I think that's
you're allowed to talk about where you found it and where it is. That's how we measure things.
So we had community groups in Essex, and then we had community groups in Dundalk, and that's why I'm really proud to represent the people that I represent because there's still so much pride here. But one of the things was, if you lived in Essex, you didn't necessarily understand how to get to Dundalk, even though it's one bridge, and the same thing. So the people from Dundalk who were doing all this work with cleanup organizations, different types of youth organizations, they were both doing it on each side of the bridge. And I would make fun when I was over in Essex, I would, as a joke, I would say, hey, you know, there's the Back River Bridge. And if you go over the Back River Bridge, you're in Dundalk. And by the way, you're doing the same thing over here in Dundalk, in Essex, that they're doing in Dundalk. If you guys met up...
It is funny that there's a rivalry.
There's a rivalry.
And it's been going on forever.
But so I think one of the things that I'm very I'm happy that happened was to help facilitate. And one of the better things that I think that my skill set offers is the ability to get people in the same room and say, listen, you guys are working on the same thing. You might have some disagreements along the way. And if you don't have disagreements, then something's wrong.
No, it doesn't have to be yours and theirs. It can be ours.
There's just disagreements all over the place. But what makes things happen is, hey, wait, what are we trying to get to? What is the problem that we're trying to solve here? And let's see if we can work those things out, find some common ground. And the things that we disagree on, let's have a longer conversation about those. But, man, we have opportunities sitting here right in front of us that if we work together and work together in a productive and in a good way that and be pragmatic about what we're talking about and listen to one another without getting into a shouting match, that we can capitalize on these opportunities that are right here in front of us to make our communities better.
So what's next, we're supposed to do. Well, you know, you're running on I've done some things. What's going to be the next 4 years here for you that you're saying, if you keep your seat, these things are in motion, that you could keep things going?
Right. So there's several challenges that we're still facing, which is another reason, you know, a reason I want a third term is there's some unfinished business. So one of the things that we're looking at, we talked about school capacity. We touched on that just briefly. So we have Sparrows Point High School, Middle School are the only schools in Baltimore County that are on the same campus and share the same structure. They're becoming overcrowded. Sparrows Point High School is already overcrowded.
So what is overcrowded? What's the number?
It's
1 to 20,
overcapacity.
1 to 20, like teacher to capacity, like all that elementary school.
It's more seats available. There's a state rated capacity for schools, and schools falling at 120% or under capacity based on the amount of seats they have per student are still considered within the realm of not being considered overcrowded.
It's also a 50-year-old school, right?
But we're also talking about demographic changes, as I mentioned. People are moving in and buying homes in the area. So they're not all of them, of course. Some are bringing children with them. They need a place to go to school, which isn't a bad thing. Because what happened if you lived in an area where nobody wanted to come to the schools where you were? So that's a good thing that we have.
We talk about growing the area.
We have
right?
facilities. We have great facilities. We do have a little bit of a. I don't know how much we want to get into it, but we have a little bit of a problem with the superintendent right now. I wrote a letter along with 5 other council members, calling for a new search for a school superintendent based on some issues that we've uncovered in the past year or so, basically. But that's the big challenge. So the Southeast...
What's at the crux of that for you? Why did you sign that letter?
A few things, but the biggest thing that stuck in my craw was that parents were not getting notified when their buses to pick up their kids, to get their kids to school in the morning, they weren't being notified until maybe 10 minutes before the bus is supposed to show up, and they'll get a text. And it says your child's bus will be 90 minutes late today. So what is that parent supposed to do? If you're a working parent, can't leave a kid at a bus stop for 90 minutes. You have to get to work. You can't. Not everybody has the freedom just to not go to work. So that issue.
Well, that has to be unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Yeah. And there's just some leadership issues that we found that are that were disconcerting to us.
Think about my childhood. How many times my bus was late? Not much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it certainly can't be. You can't operate that.
But it was it was a year long thing, and we were complaining about it as a council. Even though we write the checks, we're the fiscal authority for Baltimore County. We write very big checks to the Baltimore County school system. Over, I would say probably 54% of the overall Baltimore County budget goes to Baltimore County Public Schools. But we have no oversight. We have no leverage. It's all the school board and
I've heard that from all ends. Yes.
Yeah. So
that's on purpose. But yeah.
And that was part of the discrepancy. But we really have to take a look. And I've worked with the county executive on this, and a few other people within the school system, to work on a solution for the North Point Community Peninsula, which is basically Edgemere, Sparrows Point, down to Fort Howard. On there's not a lot of land. There's not a lot of developable land there, so that is a huge topic to undertake in the next 4 years that we'll be looking at. Increasing the growth at Trade Point, promoting the area, as a place that people want to live and work in. There's a very exciting new park that is going to be coming to the sort of the Trade Point area. Maybe you can ask Aaron when he came along.
Nice.
So Trade Point donated, I'm going to say, about 20 acres to Baltimore County, and we funded a park with a kayak ranch, an artificial field, a community center. Edgemere is a community.
That's why the schools are overcrowded, right? People want to come down there all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, there's a crunch on field space because they have a very successful rec program, but there's not a lot of field space. So they're constantly fighting on the logistics of how do you get lacrosse, softball, indoor facilities for things like gymnastics and dance and indoor soccer and things. So developing a new waterfront park. I mean, how many times in your life do you have an opportunity to say, hey, I had a role in creating a waterfront park right where I lived, and this place is going to live on. And I don't have all the details on this yet, but we're going to do a destination, what's known as a destination playground on that facility. So a lot of good things happening in the district.
I
just want to be part of the positivity that is that's happening here. Keep the ball rolling. Promote the area. And I mentioned being in front of all those folks at the opening of the opening ceremony at the Heritage Fair, and I just reminded myself that we might be divided in certain areas and with political stances and national media and all that. But man, look at all you people out here. You're all Dundalkians. You're all patriots. We're all patriots. We might have a different opinion on a lot of these different things, but we're Americans. And that, to me, that it was just a reminder to me of why I do the job that I do, why I like doing it. Try to do it the right way. Meet people, talk to them. As if they were a long lost friend, and just have a conversation, and not get angry with each other, and make it something that it's not. But just to be real with people, and you're from Dundalk, and if people sense that you're not real with them, or there's some sort of agenda that you got going on in your head,
that's
or
I wear a straight out of Dundalk shirt. I want people to know.
They know.
I let my hair down.
They know, and they don't trust you.
They thought my hair was fake. That was the only thing they knew about me was fake. Todd Crandall's here. He's running for office. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have the $10,000 Show Me tickets to give away. I have two $5 winners already. We're at Costas. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. They're bringing my windows later this month, and I don't have my Goodwill truck. It's probably in my bag. I'm going to find that. Last thing I'm going to say to you, you and I could disagree about a million different things politically, whatnot, but Chloe is from the Towson area. She's my intern. And I said to her, the best snowballs are in Dundalk. And you know what I mean? So we can agree on that, right?
Are you going to put me on the hook?
I'm not going to Essex for a snowball. I'm going to Dundalk for a snowball.
Yeah. Okay.
Am I putting you on the hook for what?
See what my favorite stand is.
Go ahead. If you,
no, I don't want to do that because we have several and there's new ones that are popping up.
Okay. You know what I love about being a cost is I'm sitting here doing the show and I hear the crack of the crabs.
Oh yeah.
I hear. Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here. You're talking about important, heavy issues, and I hear people eating crabs behind you.
Yeah.
Look, man. Good luck to you. Right. It was great running
into
you.
Thank you, Nestor. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
At the Heritage Fair. The Heritage Fair is something near and dear to my heart. Obviously.
Yeah. Me too.
And I had a really nice fair experience this year. I saw a lot of people I liked. A lot of people I knew.
It's Old Home Week.
If you ban smoking in the beer garden, it'll shut the fair down. Even though I can't breathe, I get cancer after I'm there for 3 days. It's crazy.
You need to take a step out and get a breath of fresh air, yeah.
That's what I do. I usually move out from the take the tents down, is what they do. Take the tents down, then the rain will come, because it rained like crazy. Saturday was not well attended, and I'm like, what's wrong? Yeah. What's up? I was with my buddy Mark Miller. We're like, where is everyone? I'm like, dude, it's going to rain.
It's going to rain. And
12 minutes later, I'm under the gazebo. I'm under the... right in front of the new Dundalk Elementary School, which I saw. I'm under the gazebo, and lightning's going everywhere.
Right.
And I said to my first friend in the world, Robert DeBillius, we're standing there like idiots. Idiots. Like the night we slept on Fifth Street in his Nissan Sentra back in 1986 down in Ocean City. Idiots. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, how did he die? He got hit by lightning at the Heritage Fair at a slaughter concert.
Yeah. Wow.
And I thought, you know what? If that's the way I'm going down... Crandall will build a statue of me here in the
there
plaza and talk about how I played Little League football here.
There we go. We'll start a GoFundMe on that one. But I don't know how long we have, but
2 minutes, because so I got Marshall Weston
years ago,
coming on here.
A couple years ago, the opening ceremony is starting. So we have the chief of police, the county executive, the congressman, all our delegates. Everybody's up on stage.
Was that the
38th
special year? What year was that? Dennis DeYoung, Joan Jett.
I'm trying to remember the musical act that was there that night.
I remember when the musical act used to be Mel Tillis. We've come a long way.
Yeah.
We've come a long way.
And you remember as a kid, Gaz Band played.
Oh,
Gaz has been around for 50 years.
Gaz played Everybody's Prom,
So we're on stage, and this thunderstorm rolls in. And we're all up on stage, and I'm sitting there. I'm standing on top of an electrical wire, and I don't know how these things are configured. And I was like, man, we got to get off this stage. This thing is really rolling in. So I end up underneath a tree with all the elected officials, chief of police, and a bunch of other people. And we're underneath the tree in the back of the stage.
I know where that is.
I went to the large one there behind the behind the stage. And I said to the chief, I said, is this the best place to stand? Because I always heard it's the worst place to stand underneath underneath a thunderstorm. And sure enough, a bolt of lightning came and hit the electrical box in the beer garden and shut the thing down for a couple hours. So it's just it's Heritage Fair. You're going to get rained on at some point. Hopefully, it's not too bad to shut everything down. But I'll give the folks, those organizers, I'll give them a lot of credit because they've gone through some real challenges. They've lost some leadership.
Dave Sutherland's kid came over to me in the beer garden, and I mean, Dave used to come out and do my show in the '90s to promote the Heritage Fair. I would always say, "Get some better bands, Dave." And then he started bringing like Styx in and Joan Jett and Eddie Money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Man, Dundalk, you know."
So
great.
And we heard some complaints, you know, that it's not what it once was. But we got to remember what we've been through with the pandemic and everything, and it takes a lot of work.
I felt like it was coming back. I feel like the better the bands, you bring some people in.
I think that there's going to be a new energy coming back, and we got to keep this thing going because I really think it brings the community together. And heck, I saw you there.
I might even vote for you, but I can't vote for you in a primary because you know.
I know. Don't worry about that.
Mine says D next to me. It's okay.
That's all right. I'm a proud R.
I know what you know.
I'm
D
a proud R, but yeah.
D stands for Dundalk. Todd Crandall's here. He is over here in 7 in Dundalk. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill. I've got friends stopping by. The Restaurant Association of Maryland is partially sending us out on the road on the Crab Cake Tour as well. So we're going to be eating at some places, talking about restaurants, talking about bringing things back. The vibrancy of eating when I'm in Dundalk, when I'm in anywhere, when I'm in Costas, always there's people out again, and that's really nice after, to your point, where we've been.
Right.
I'm happy to be at the Dundalk Heritage Fair where there's a lot of people, and I feel like there is vibrancy in it. So,
agreed.
Lifted right. Dundalk up. There's Todd Crandall. He's running for office. If you can vote for him, you will see his name on your R, on your thing. And he just dropped the mic, like Cal Ripken just dropped the mic. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Costas on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us.